Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We're talking, I mean, we'll talk Avs too today, really. It's both Avs and Eagles. That's Megan. I'm Rudo. Interesting times. What's old is new for the Colorado Eagles. A head coach previously returns in Schneekloff. We've already talked about that a little bit. Megan, you were up at the event yesterday for the Eagles. Got to talk to Schneekloff. Also, Chris McFarland, GM of the Avs, and then Ryan Bach as well, up with the Eagles. So, first of all, what are your impressions of the new, I say new coaching staff, new head coach, really? And, you know, I guess Connor Walchuk's there, too. They're different things.
Absolutely. Well, and that's part of the discussion is there's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Not just in players, but in personnel this year, as well as things that have remained the same, like Branham and Schneekloff. But in looking at those things and seeing them in person last night together, the impression is different from what I had previously, because I had talked to Schneekloff last season and I'd been around the team, but seeing Martin Lind and the way that he interacts with Bach and McFarland and Schneekloff, the community that has been described to me from Cronin when he described that this is a tribe, I always found that language curious because I'm obviously not in that room and seeing what they're doing in there, but sure. I could really see the community that exists between this organization on display at every level, too. Just even getting to talk with the new in-arena reporter, Katie Florio, and Reno Boyd, their video guy who's been doing this for a long time. There's a lot of passion around the organization, and it shows in Schneekloff as the new head coach. There's a little bit of humor that I got to see, a side that I don't ordinarily see. Martin Lind is hilarious. But that's where, too, you see the almost familial bond that exists between the personnel. And I think it's something that fans can get sentimental about and appreciate about the culture with the Avs too. And I think having that kind of tight-knit group at every level and just translates to a better on-ice product, because I think the players feel more comfortable using them as a support system. And that was just kind of the big takeaway from yesterday, was seeing how close all of these people in the organization are to one another.
So we were talking before the show, and kind of where I wanted to start is sort of with Schneekloff, because he obviously won championships with the Eagles in the ECHL, has been around for a very, very long time now with this organization. But coming in as head coach of an AHL organization, what is the goal, I guess, would be the question. Obviously, I'm sure they would love to win AHL championships, but there's a lot more proximity to the NHL and developing NHL players there. Are we going to see something different with Schneekloff there? What is it going to look like as the Avs try to balance this development of especially the number of forward prospects they have coming through that system right now?
It's probably a topic we're going to dive deeper into, not only on this pod, but later down the line, how the organization has moved to marry the interests of the Colorado Avalanche to the Eagles more closely to benefit the Avs in a way that still doesn't harm the Eagles.
Sure.
And I think this starts with Kevin McDonald coming in as the AGM for Avs, GM for Eagles. Craig Billington, the way that he operated was very much on that community level. He was very invested in the Eagles. But I wonder if it was so Eagle-centric that Kevin McDonald has a more bird's eye view of the entirety of the organization and is seeking to make changes and bring about players that are going to help the Avs as well as the Eagles, young players to develop. Because we've talked about it before. The inconsistencies last season with so many injuries harmed player development because Oscar Olausen did not have consistent line mates.
It was just
chaos. It was just chaos. And so you still need to have good, consistent personnel down in Eagles, the players, you know, the veteran presence, the experience. You still need those things to help develop your players. Mm-hmm. But I think that with some of these changes, with Kevin McDonald kind of being one of them, and then Schneekloff being another, there's going to be, I think, a new look just in terms of the identity of the Eagles, not the effort or expectation that is demanded of the players necessarily, but the NHL readiness being an emphasis on everyone. Because what we saw last season is it can get pretty deep in terms of call-ups and who is next man up. And I think they are trying to better prepare everyone on an Eagles roster to suit what the Avs need them to be should a call-up be necessary. And I think that's going to show in how they play hockey. I think there are going to be players with a greater emphasis on third and fourth line habits, even if they play a top six role, because that is what is realistically going to happen with a lot of these call-ups. Similarly with players like Sam Bolinski, I think there's going to be an emphasis on defensive responsibility, though we'd like to see the offensive side of his game flourish, and I think it will at the AHL level. I think he'll have plenty of opportunity to run their power play. If he's going to see time with the Avs, there's a lot of responsibility that he is going to have to take on as well.
Yeah, how many times have we seen a player get called up into the NHL for the Avs, make a defensive mistake, and that dude gets 6 minutes and he's back to the AHL real quick. So
oh, yeah.
Would definitely make a lot of sense to push for things like that as in an AHL squad. And I did want to talk about Schneekloff a little bit more. This is not a guy who's a stranger to developing NHL talent. Even when he was with the Eagles in the ECHL, he coached guys like Milosh, like Bodin, even Alex Belzile, all guys, you know, they're not NHL stars or anything, but these are guys who have gotten into NHL games, had some level of an NHL career, that have played under Schneekloff. So there's certainly both sides of this with him. He understands how to win at a professional level, even if it is ECHL, and he understands what players of that caliber might need to take the next steps. You talk to him. What do you think of that spectrum? How effective can he be, especially when it comes following a Greg Cronin?
I think that, and I want to, at the end of this, give Schneekloff his own individual credit for the role he plays in this.
Definitely.
But something that he talks about a lot is how much he learned from Greg Cronin. And starting there, one of my favorite quotes from last night was about Greg Cronin. And he talked about how one of the biggest takeaways was, one, just the experience of working with a coach like Cronin, who has coached at so many different levels.
Yep.
As an assistant in the NHL before, the NCAA level, and then, of course, the American League head coach level. That's a lot of experience with players of all ages and at different stages in their development. So that is already a helpful tool.
Yeah.
But then he described the way in which Cronin would dig into a player's soul to get to know them on and off the ice, to see what they're capable of and how he can bring that out of them. And this is something we've talked about with Cronin before. But hearing Schneekloff say that, affirmed that this is something he saw value in, the teaching side of it. And he had a hand, too, in helping the defenseman one-on-one, Schneekloff, that is.
Yeah.
And so he was very much playing the role of teacher as well throughout this entire time, as the Eagles, as an American League team, have gradually seen more and more success. I think that's where I'm pinning the expectation, too, is, though I don't know if they're staring down a Calder Cup championship anytime soon, I think that they want to push for better than they were last year and the year before. And I think that's a reasonable expectation, because they've been trending in this way. And Schneekloff then individually talked about being himself, being authentic, and using that as a way to communicate with young players. And this is something that I've seen in real time, he does do very well. He's already done it very well with some of the young defensemen, Sam Alinsky and Wyatt Ahmet being two, I think, of that came fresh from college, worked with Schneekloff directly, and made that transition, Malinsky more so seamlessly, and that comes about from Schneekloff being such a helpful tool. Malinsky talked about how helpful Schneekloff was one-on-one in getting him prepared for pro games, and I think that's what helped to make that transition a little bit more seamless for him, and this is a quality that he's now going to bring to the entirety of the Eagles group.
I think it's interesting, especially... I imagine with someone like Malinsky, it's probably a little bit easier. That's a guy who's a little bit older, has been through the college ranks and things like that. But you're also talking about someone who is taking care of is maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but as a head coach for 20-year-old kids, in some cases for European kids, 18, 19-year-old kids in the AHL, that, yes, he needs to help them with the on-ice hockey stuff. Obviously, that's his job. But also, there's a certain level of these kids are still learning how to be adults. And
yes.
So it is interesting where probably not quite to the level of ECHL coach, where Bednar has talked about this too. It's like, yeah, down there you wear every hat in the organization. But there is a certain level of needing to understand who the player is as a person beyond just hockey. Certainly sounds like Cronin was good at it. Certainly seems like Schneekloff as an assistant was good at it. So a key factor in development for the Avs to watch, probably, with Schneekloff. We do have the video of you interviewing him where he says a handful of interesting things about some guys who could be taking those next steps. Tiff, if you want to roll the beautiful bean footage.
You described a culture that's existed from the time you were a player that is true to this day, and I was just wondering if you could describe that culture a little bit.
Well, we talked about the energy that our building provides, right? And we want to put a product on the ice that's going to energize our fans. So we want to be fast. We want to be physical. We don't want to be a team that's pushed around. We want to be a team that's always tough to play against and is going to play hard regardless of the score. And so I feel we have a lot of those players that fit those qualities, and our fans are going to be proud of our team this season.
In losing some of your high-octane offense in Charles Houdon and Maltsev, who are you really looking to take a big step and contribute production this year?
Well, I think some of the players that, you know, we've talked about that we'd like to see them take that next step in their offensive productivity would be Jean-Luc Foudy, Oscar Olsson, and then the new players that we've got coming in are going to handle some of that weight as well, with Kiro from Texas, and then Tufte and Olofsson. So those are the players. You know, Cal Burke has continued to increase his production every single year, and then I think we're pretty solid on the back end if we have, potentially Brad Hunter lineup or Jack Conn. So Sam Malinsky to build off his early pro career start. So it'll be a community-balanced offensive team. But those are the guys that we'd like to see probably take that next step.
In looking at the back end, you mentioned that Brandon was going to transition into working with the defenseman more closely. What does he bring to that role that's going to be especially helpful for those young players?
Tim was a defenseman throughout his career. He's a former draft pick. He's played a lot of games in the American League. And he's coached a lot of seasons, got a lot of experience working with forwards and D. So he's going to put an identity on them that I think the fans will enjoy and then they'll be proud of as well.
And then in looking at the additions from this offseason, it feels a little different from years before when the Dylan Sakuras and the Kiefer Sherwoods were targeted. Charles Houdon goes on this last year. Is there a different approach into the type of team that you're building going into this season? Maybe something that you're looking to strengthen?
Well, I think one thing that I think management have looked at and we've talked a little bit about is just making sure the players that we have are aligned with how the Avalanche want to play, and they're going to fit that mold. I'm not saying those players in the past didn't. I mean, we loved having those players. They put up great numbers. They had, you know, career seasons, and some of them worked their way to other NHL clubs. But some of the guys they brought in are going to have fresh starts here with our team and a good opportunity to create some traction with the Avalanche.
So a handful of names that he touched on there that I want to get into before we get into the more overarching conversation. Foudy and Olofsson, we kind of already know. They've been in the Avs organization for a little while now. Foudy, I think there's probably some expectations of call-ups this year. Olofsson, we'll see. But then he adds on guys they added this season in Olofsson and Tufte. Realistically, are they preparing those two guys to be NHL tweeners as much as Eagles players right now?
It's hard to say, in that I've heard both of those names spoken about with relation to the Avs roster.
Right.
Like from Chris McFarland and how he talked about Olofsson, it's definitely a possibility and kind of seems like why they were interested to get him specifically this offseason. And so I think you're absolutely right that they are trying to prime them to be Avs-ready players should they be called up and utilized for a handful of games. I think we saw with Anton Bleed, the types of players that earned more trust in their call-ups with Bednar were the types of players that were going to have an impact shift by shift.
Yep.
The high skill upside of the Charles Hudon type players score goals at the American League level and win games for the Eagles, but how does that help players like Sampo Ranta? And how does that help the Avs in a call-up experience? You know, if a player like Charles Hudon struggles to have that skill set translate at the NHL level immediately.
Yep.
And to a degree, I don't necessarily fault him. I didn't think Charles Hudon specifically in his call-up looked bad. I just think they're looking for a more applicable skill set that is going to help have a greater impact call-up by call-up. And that might be then the more physical side of the game, the blue-collar things that they're looking for from their players. And looking at Olofsson specifically and seeing him get in some of his first NHL games, 28 NHL games last year is a healthy amount to get in your first season as an NHL player. And then to appear in the playoffs as the next man up for Dallas is a huge testament to what he's shown at the NHL level already. I think that they're willing to hedge their bets a little bit that this is someone who has more upside than Anton Bleed, but will also satisfy some of the things that they needed from their players being called up for a depth role.
And spoiler alert, small for your McFarland interview. I think the word he uses with Olofsson is versatility.
Yes.
And when you talk about guys like Hudon, I think that's what's a little bit lacking there. If you put him in the right role, sure, he can succeed offensively and create that way. But if you ask him to play a fourth line grinder role, you know, it doesn't really function the way you'd like it to. So seeing someone who can find a bit of a middle ground there, I imagine would be the goal with someone like an Olofsson, maybe a Tufte as well. And honestly, something that they would probably like to get more out of from a Foodie or an Olofsson too. Foodie has some size limitations there, obviously, but a guy that they would probably love to play wing and center going forward if they can get that out of him. So development is hard. So I don't want to put too many expectations on anyone at any given time, because you just never know when a player is going to take a next step or if they run into a problem or anything like that. But I am encouraged by what I've seen from this event, that it sounds like the Avs and Eagles focus is shifting a little bit more towards that development side.
Well, and I'm hearing Schneekloff say, when asked, who do you look to contribute production? He described a community build contribution. This is not just within their forward group that they're looking to, but also within their D-core. And hearing that makes me feel affirmed that they're looking for more balance in how players can contribute. And so, like I mentioned a second ago with Charles Hudon scoring, how does that help Sampo Ranta? It's because I do wonder if this gives more opportunity for players like Oscar Olofsson and Jean-Luc Foudy to continue showing out at the American League level, but also allow others to step into that as well. Because I think with the high skill upside that came about with players like Maltsev and Hudon and previously Sherwood and Sakura, that took away opportunity from other players to have that kind of impact. And now there is no reason for them not to. So there's definitely a lot of pressure that's being put on Oscar Olofsson specifically.
But fair enough.
And you look at the departures, there's a lot of room for many people to step in.
Yep.
Alex Galchenyuk was one of the leading points getters for the Eagles.
That's another departure. Now,
exactly. So now you're looking at Hudon and Maltsev. Galchenyuk, is Brad Hunt going to be with the Eagles? There are a lot of ways in which players can step up. And this, I think, is a necessary part on the development side of things to push players like
Those opportunities have to be given.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I 100% agree with that, and I'm excited to see what comes of it. We'll talk about it a little bit more, but first we are brought to you by the American Raptors. You can get out to Infinity Park in Glendale, not right now, but you can get your tickets right now for the weekend of the 25th through the 27th. The 2023 Rugby Town Sevens Tournament is taking place over at Infinity Park. It'll be 20 teams from all over the world competing for $10,000 in prize money. You'll have the U.S. Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard all competing there, as well as a bunch of other awesome teams. For the U.S. Armed Forces Championship, so they've got that going on Saturday afternoon. The full tournament has 62 different teams, or matches, excuse me, over the course of 3 days. So it's all-you-can-eat rugby, basically. You can't go wrong. Tickets are just $10 a day. You can get the whole weekend pass for $20. Kids 12 and under get in for free. And it's just a great day to go out on the town. You can go catch some rugby at Infinity Park. You can go hang out. So the whole combines collection, it's not like a square, I don't know what to call it, the arena, the building, everything out there is a vibe. They got a super awesome arcade for the kids, whatever you want. It's just a good time. If you haven't been out there, you got to go check out Infinity Park. Also, be sure to follow Colton Strickler and the DNVR Rugby account on Twitter. He does a rugby podcast that has everyone covered, from 101 shows if you're new, or talking to literally every person you've ever heard of in the rugby scene. It's incredible how many people he gets. He talks to everybody. Go check him out if you haven't. The Rugby Town 7 tickets start at just $10. You can get them at AmericanRaptors.com today. And I'm going to throw this one over to Megan because she's the DU girl here. But Snarf sandwiches. I didn't have the experience of eating these all the time in college. So what's it like?
It's incredible. From the bread to the toppings, just get everything on it each time. No matter what type of sandwich you like, you're a turkey person, a roast beef person, just get all of the toppings. Because it includes things like the little banana peppers, and I think they do oil, vinegar, a little bit of mayo.
Yep.
It is the perfect combination. The bread is toasted. It's not too much bread. The ratio of bread to sandwich is perfect. And you can get extremely large sizes. I don't remember what the largest size is actually called, but it is humongous and probably should be broken into two meals, but only if you're a quitter. My only beef with them, too, is after games, they would close compared to the time, like, when the DU games would end. So yep. I wasn't always able to go after games. So I had to plan around that a little bit.
Your,
so
get your dinner early.
I don't know if they've expanded their hours, but that would be my one request.
Well, look, make sure you get it on it while they're still open. Then, look, she already mentioned the bread. They are amazing quality sandwiches, top to bottom. You saw me eating the hot dog bacon sandwich the other day. Which,
I don't know if that was real or made just for you.
Either way, I want another one.
It's real. It's real, but it should be called the Rudo.
Well, call them up. We'll get it named. We'll figure it out. Absolutely delicious stuff at Snarfs. You can't go wrong. You can download their Snarfs app for online ordering and delivery today. You can also join their rewards and receive a special welcome of $5 off an order and of any order $10 or more. And there's a bunch of members only offers. You can get birthday gifts, referral points, all sorts of cool stuff. If you're not sure about them, we'll have them at our Broncos tailgates. So come down to the Broncos tailgates, ask for the Rudo as the the hot dog bacon sandwich, or you know, you can get a normal sandwich too. I'm not gonna blame you if that's not your style. Either way, Snarfs will deliver. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. All right, I gotta do this. I feel like I've been extremely dismissive over this offseason of goaltending and Eustace Annanen. And that's not because I don't like Annanen, but just because we've done a lot of lists where it's like, all right, these are the best skaters in the Avs organization. Goaltenders are their own thing. Let's talk about the goaltenders. Let's talk about Eustace Annanen. Let's talk about his future. The AHL is a weird place for goalies because you exist in a world where this is a position where there are two spots on any given team. You have a starting goalie and a backup goalie. And in the AHL, one of those guys could be called to the NHL at any given time. How do you balance giving a prospect enough games in the AHL versus having him ready for an NHL call-up, making sure the AHL team can live without him?
You target goaltenders who show that they can be a starter in their own right to work alongside that other goaltender. And that's what they've done the last couple of seasons, especially last year, like getting Jonas Johansson in Loveland was so helpful to Eustace to balance the workload. I think people see that the games were more or less split and fear that that took away from Eustace being the starter, but he still is the starter in Loveland.
Yep.
And there was some trust, though, in a player like Jonas Johansson in a pinch if they needed to call him up for the Avs,
yep,
because of the NHL experience that he's accrued. And so I think last season created a little bit of panic in the eyes of his development because of how the workload was split in that way. And there wasn't a huge step forward if you just look at the numbers side of things.
Sure.
Though it was still a bit better than the year before.
I agree.
I think within the context of last season, given that there were 53 different players,
they
cycled
were icing
in
an ECHL defense in front of
all
them.
All different skill levels. Yeah. And there is something to be said for the volume of shots that he would face in a given night, because the American League is like the Wild West sometimes. The
yep
way those games get played is very different from hockey at the NHL level.
Defensive structure is more of a suggestion.
It's more of a suggestion. There's a lot of special teams play, and so there's not a lot of five-on-five hockey where you're even seeing that
yep
being played ordinarily. And so there are a lot of unpredictable things, which I know it's a goalie's job to try and predict these things, that make the American League level hard. And he still hovered in the top 10 goaltender
yeah
list around the league for a reason, and it is because he still did improve from one year to the next, got more comfortable with North American ice and then the pace of the game and the way in which it moves a lot more quickly. And so I still think he's trending in the right direction. I also think the trajectory for goaltenders is a longer path than other positions, and
definitely,
so he is still very young for a goaltender. And continuing to work with Peter Budaj is something that I think will only benefit him, because the switch from Ryan Buck to Peter Budaj happened so early into his first North American season
yeah
that there was a little bit of a transition. And Eustace talked about how he really liked working with Peter Budaj because his proximity to the National Hockey League was relatively recent.
Sure.
And so his approach to the game was very modern.
More modern, yeah.
And the way that he would communicate with Eustace was very effective. And so all of these things worked together to help get him more comfortable. And so that's my takeaway from last season, is Eustace looked more comfortable and confident, and those are absolutely things you need your goaltender to be feeling.
I think it is interesting with Budaj and Annan specifically, too. Budaj's a guy who came over from Europe, right? You can have a similar say, hey, I know what you're going through, adjusting to North America at playing hockey like this. So I do find that super interesting. With Annan specifically, look, the timeline is very apparent to people. Pavel Francouz is on the last year of his contract. Do you think he can be ready by the start of the 2024 season to be a potential backup in the NHL?
Those are really big shoes to fill.
They are. Francouz, you can make an argument as the best backup goaltender in the league, I think.
Well, and that's why I think when the extension happened last spring, there were rumors of him being eyed for a starting position elsewhere, because
yep
there's that much belief that he could be a starter somewhere else.
Yep.
I think that knowing that's how the Avs have sort of constructed their current tandem, then being with Georgiev definitely the starter, but Francouz a very capable 1B, that's why I wouldn't say Eustace is ready to step into that role, just because of how the Avs have defined it. In another
sure
team, I think that you could talk about NHL readiness as a backup.
As a true backup.
Certainly. But within the Avs specifically, and how they have tried to cost effectively structure their goalie tandem for the Avs,
yeah,
I am not there yet with Eustace, and it's just because
okay
Francouz leaves very big shoes to fill.
Yeah, I mean, no argument there. You already mentioned this isn't like anything negative on Eustace. It's just the reality of goaltenders having a longer path to the NHL and a development cycle that works in that way.
Look at Logan Thompson.
Yeah,
and the
a perfect example.
Path to the NHL was a winding one and required him spending some time at each level and getting excellent there first before making the leap. So if Eustace has a terrific next year, this conversation could change entirely.
Yeah, that's the magic of goaltending. It can turn quickly.
Just what you want in a goaltender.
I mean, I think consistency is part of that conversation with Anand. And last year, he was more consistent, and that's one of the positives to take away from it. Two things here. You can either talk about Holm first, or we can go to the Bach interview, whichever you want. But the Avs did bring in Arvid Holm to be backup tandem with Anand.
I think we're calling it tandem, okay, but not in a way that should give anybody panic. This is what they did last season with Johansson / Keith Kincaid. Eustace still had more starts than the others and was given kind of the first nod. If there was a series of games, he would play the majority of them. And so with Arvid Holm specifically being a young goaltender, I think that there's a little bit more uncertainty that teases at possible call-up potential there that hasn't been fully realized. And I think because he is relatively new to the American League level, I want to say he's waiver exempt, and this no longer creates the problem that Jonas Johansson created for the Avs should he be someone that they eye for a call-up. So I think there are a lot of benefits to targeting a player like Holm, who in the AHL last season had a good regular season. A .911 save percentage is good.
Solid,
at the American League level, especially where we just described how different the game is. That is a pretty solid year to have then. And so I think for those reasons I just mentioned, Arvid Holm makes a lot of sense and moves a slightly different direction from Johansson and Kincaid, but still in a way that balances Eustace's workload, isn't completely giving up on his path, but also introduces a young-ish goaltender prospect in Holm.
All right, let's roll the footage, see what the Eagles had to say about their goaltending.
I want to talk to you a little bit about goaltending as well. Peter Budaj comes in as the replacement goaltender coach as you get promoted, Holden. What does Budaj do especially well to help support their goalies for the next level?
Well, he's obviously a player and a professional that's played and had a tremendous career, but I think what makes Peter such a good coach is his ability to communicate. And I think that's such an important part for goaltending is, you know, there's going to be highs and obviously there's going to be lows, but it's finding that medium of being able to just let it go and move on to whether it's good habits in practice. When something's not working, Peter's done a good job with these young goaltenders. And I think, you know, you can see it in a goaltender like Anand's game, the confidence and the steps and progress that he's made. And it starts with the goaltending coach. You know, I think he's progressed. He's making those steps. He's still a young goaltender. It's, you know, age 22. And I think that's one of the things at the pro level. You come over from him being used to the European style, a bigger ice surface. So there were some adjustments that needed to be there, made there with this game. But the biggest part, I think, is the, you know, the consistency part of the game. And all of a sudden, you're in a 72-game schedule where you're relied on a little more heavily on a consistent basis because you're playing so many more games, which I think overall he's been able to adapt. And, you know, he's played his first NHL game last year. And obviously, I think that's his goal. He wants to play in the National Hockey League, but he's doing all the right things. He's a pro down here. He works extremely hard, and he wants to get better each and every day.
Do you have any insights into the new
goal? You know, I know bits and parts of, you know, his background and where he's played, but from what I understand and know is we're going to have a very good tandem with him and Eustace here for our club here in Colorado.
This is a bit of a sidetrack, but I'm going there anyway. The talk of Peter Budaj and in my head, Brian Wilsey also came to my head, I guess. An era of Avalanche hockey that I think many people consider lost from 2008-ish to 2015, 16, 17, depending on how you feel about the worst year of all time. Because that's terrible, but it led to Cale Makar, so things turned out okay. But the Avs have kind of farmed that era of hockey for assistant coaches, for development coaches, for things behind the scenes that you don't really see that much of as a fan. It was just a little bit surprising to me how important that has become for Colorado. You obviously already talked about Budaj and all the positive impact he's had on Anand, but this is something that will continue to go forward as well for an organization like the Eagles. Where do expectations come in for this version of the Eagles, the one with not just Schneekloff as the head coach, but Budaj as a development coach. You talked about the front office as well, whether it be McFarland as the overarching or down the way. Do they need to start having more success producing players? And how, I guess, what is the timeline here? If they fail to produce much over the next 3, 4, 5 years, do the Avs need to reshuffle it again? What are they looking at?
It's tough because of all the different personnel that make up development to really pinpoint when to start the clock and begin getting concerned. Because I even look at the change in the director of amateur scouting,
sure,
in Wade Klippenstein. And so that starts the clock at Sean Behrens and Oscar Olausson forward.
Yep.
And that's not to say abandon all responsibility and culpability for the Allan Hepel era. Let's just forget it happened, because there are still players that we're looking to from there, though that list is dwindling. Yeah, actually,
it's running out quick.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to reflect on, honestly, the Kaut and the Ranta and Bowers,
yeah,
era is what I think people look to, though, when they feel a lot of disappointment in development.
Definitely.
And I don't think that's misplaced. But the clock, I would say, starts last year.
Okay.
Because that is someone like Oscar Olausson's first full pro season.
Yep.
And unfortunately, last year was a horrific season for the entire organization.
Yeah, it was rough, yeah.
And that's why my plea is to give maybe like 2 more years' time,
okay,
before we hit the panic button on what a Foodie or an Olausson turn into specifically. Eustace, because of it being goaltending,
sure,
also maybe is granted some allowances. But Sam Boranta leaving for Sweden is something that I hope the organization reflects on, because Sam Boranta should have still had a path forward in Colorado. There should be a little bit more of an explanation why that just didn't quite work out at this present time. And so this isn't to absolve the Avalanche organization of any guilt when it comes to developing prospects, but I think that there are some things to take into consideration too. Like, I've seen people really tout high praises for the pro scouting department.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these are just two really different beasts, because one is evaluating a body of work at the NHL level and seeing who's a good stylistic fit there. And the other is a little bit of future telling.
Yeah, it's a lot harder.
It's really hard to do. And again, that's why this is an entire department, though, dedicated to doing this.
Exactly.
And they need to have some level of success in doing this.
Yep.
And so this is where this next year becomes especially important, because there are a lot of changes, not just in relatively new Wade Klippenstein. Like, okay, can Sean Behrens come over and make the leap? Is he what we had hoped he would be,
yeah,
eventually? And then how are these college free agents? This is where the amateur scouting department really comes into play, because they weren't necessarily drafted within the organization, but they are being scouted in that way as prospects.
There's still no pro play there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though some of them are on maybe the older side for a conventional prospect. How Malinsky develops next year, if he gets in NHL games and doesn't look half bad, will be a huge boon in the Avs cap. And then the other will be if, like, Andre Pavel is an interesting one, because we talked about maybe the kind of different direction they're going and the types of players that they're targeting, and I think he's a perfect example of this. I don't know if the NHL readiness is there for me to begin having that conversation, but I think that's the intent with Pavel. And so how he adjusts to a full season of American League play, and if he can have an impact with the Eagles, there's plenty of opportunity for him to do so, could make a case for some of these college free agents turning out, the other being Matt Steinberg, not a free agent, but a draft pick. If he does in August 15th, the Avs, there are qualities to his game that would fit so nicely with the Avs, but there are also some things that need to come to fruition at the American League level first.
Yep.
I might have trailed off a little bit in answering that question.
That's what happens on the show.
The conversation around development and if we should be disappointed in it or not is just so nuanced. I don't want to lazily bulldoze through it, because I still think that there are areas of success. And some of it isn't homegrown development, which stinks, but looking at Andreas Englund and Ryan Graves being players that were made better having spent time in Loveland is why I don't want to fully say this has been a failure, that there are things that are going well. It's just some more time is needed to see if a third round foodie can be something. That would be a huge win for the Avs.
And I think part of what you're kind of digging at here is I think you could argue the Avs' defensive development has been successful. And a big part of that is Aaron Schneekloth being the defensive coach at the Colorado Eagles.
Connor Timmins, health permitting, would have been a success story.
Yeah. Did you look at how well he played in Toronto when he was healthy this last season. There's a lot of positives to take there. And one of the big questions for Schneekloth now is, as a head coach, can he take that and apply that to the forward core a little bit?
Yeah.
We'll see is the ultimate answer, because we're not any better than the Avs scouting at seeing the future. So
look, I'm trying.
If you got a crystal ball, you let me know. On that note, when you're looking into the future, make sure you're wearing your Shady Rays, because sometimes the future is quite bright. You can go to ShadyRays.com today to get your sunglasses. When you use code DNVR and get two sunglasses or more, you get 50% off your entire order. They have dozens of different styles and shapes and polarizations and colors. And look, I'm not a big fashion person, but they have something that youth will think is cool, because I even found something that I think is cool. So that's hard to do. Just saying. You can go again to ShadyRays.com. They've been rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. If you're local, they also have a brick and mortar in the Park Meadows Mall. And yeah, they're great at what they do. Use the DNVR code. Get yourself some sunglasses today. Secondly, we are brought to you by someone that... Oh, right. If you've been injured, dial 222-2222 today. Look. There are unfortunately a lot of ways to get injured in the world, and a lot of them are not your own fault. If you're my dog, you're running around the neighborhood terrified that the roofers are going to drop stuff on you. So
seems like a valid fear.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe avoid the roofers. But if something does happen, Bacchus and Shanker has your back. If you've been injured in a car accident downtown, and someone hit you on a scooter, whatever happened, even if it's like a rideshare situation or you were injured at work, you name it, Bacchus and Shanker has your back. You can call them at the 2 number or go to coloradolaw.net. They'll give you a free consultation no matter what your case is. And if they think you can win, they will take it on for completely free. You pay these guys nothing until you win your case. You don't have to have any money saved up. They just want to get you what you deserve. Done a lot of getting people what they deserve, too. They've been doing it for over 25 years. They've won over $1 billion for their clients in that time. That's a billion with a B. That's a lot of dollars. That's 9 zeros with a number on the end of it. It's kind of an unfathomable amount of money. Anyway, call the 2 number. Get Bacchus and Shanker on your side today and get what you deserve. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's do this one in reverse. Let's play the McFarland video first.
Love it.
And then we'll talk about what he had to say. This is me buying time for this video. All right, perfect.
What did it mean to be able to give Schneekloth an opportunity to continue growing in this organization? What do you think he can bring as a head coach to the
Eagles? That's a good question, Megan. I think, you know, with any time you have, you know, with your development team, that the personnel there, whether it's a trainer, equipment, or coaches, and the players, you know, they want to get to the National Hockey League. And for Aaron to be patient and to grind away like he did as a player, you know, the last number of years, he's been an important part here for many, many years. But to see him, you know, us to get to know him over the last number of years, and when Crow got the job, we were thrilled for Crow, but we felt really happy and content that we had the right guy right here in-house. So it was an easy choice at the end of the day.
And looking at some oxygen, someone like Frederick Molson might be a fringe player that is straddling an opportunity at both clubs. What made you target that player?
Well, I think with Frederick Olofsson, it's a combination of things. I think he fits our identity with how we like to play. There's some versatility there in that he can play wing and center.
We saw him obviously play a lot. You know, Texas is a team that plays the Eagles, but we had very good NHL reports on him as well. We watched him very close in the Vegas series when he played in the NHL playoffs, and he's a guy that's gonna push to make our team. So we're very excited to add him, and some of the other guys, Riley Tufte and Chris Wagner, who unfortunately got hurt in early July, but we'll hopefully have very good veteran guys here as we always have. We'll get more information on that in the weeks ahead. He's still rehabbing, but hopefully we'll see him in September. Yeah, those were good hockey players for the Eagles, and we lost a chunk of goals, but I think we're going to be looking for some internal improvement from guys like Oscar Olofsson, Foodie, hopefully, and some of the college guys that we brought in will hopefully now be acclimated. Guys like Jason Poland and some of our kids like Matthew Steinberg, hopefully we'll be able to get something done there and just see a lot of internal growth and coupled with some of the veterans we brought in, we think we'll have a good team.
These will be my last two. With Steinberg, you mentioned you were working on something. Yep. Is that still in the works? I know I talked to you at the end of last season.
Yes, we've had good chats. Obviously, he's an August 15th guy, but I think the everything is trending in the right direction, hopefully.
And then the last one is Andre Pavel. He's another player that was targeted from that college range. Yep.
Well, Andre is different than some of the other guys. I think Andre's game, he's not going to be flashy offensively. He's a sturdy, checking type player. He's going to probably be a guy that is thrown over the boards for penalty kill, to protect leads, to block shots. And he's a guy that has a motor. You know what you're going to get from him every night. And he's a type of player that I think will earn trust quickly with coaching staff. So, but I don't think you're going to see, high octane offense, but that's okay. It takes all different types of things to have a good sauce. And I think, Andre's a hardworking player that's going to endear himself to both the coaches and our fans wherever he plays.
So a lot of ground, a lot of players covered there. Let's start with Steinberg. I know you already mentioned him already. Still kind of up in the air, it seems like.
I already found it odd at the end of last year why it was an ATO and he just didn't
just sign and be done with it. Yeah,
right. And I asked him about it at the end of last year and he answered it with the same vague clarity that we just got as well. But seeing him at Dev Camp and knowing that he already has the built-in connection with Malinsky,
yeah, right.
I don't think we should hit the panic button entirely, but it is curious that it has gone on this long without it getting done.
And it's power to players that,
Know your worth, King.
Yeah, exactly. And also, and this is no offense to Steinberg, I would love to know if he has other offers on the table. He's had a decent NCAA career, but it's not anything like mind blowing.
No, and this isn't just even to slight Cornell generally, but when you look at the programs that attract a lot of attention, now I actually wonder too if Malinsky and the spotlight that was put on him as one of the highly coveted free agents put a greater spotlight on Steinberg.
Maybe,
and a lot
yeah.
of teams were then just watching Cornell more closely.
It's a fair point.
Because of this reason. And grew to like Steinberg's game. Because there are things to like that you can't necessarily teach players. They either do it or they don't. And he plays with a little bit of grit and edge that I would describe as like a honey badger quality, at least at the collegiate level,
yeah,
that
definitely.
Would entice teams, certainly. So he can, at least at the NCAA level, kill penalties. There are reasons to be intrigued by Matt Steinberg, but as someone who covers the Avs, I'm intrigued by Matt Steinberg, and I'd like for him to be here.
Go ahead and sign that contract. I do think it'll be interesting, McFarland directly mentioning what you were talking about, and there should be internal opportunity for some of these guys to not just improve, but to fill important roles for the Eagles and start taking those next steps towards an NHL call-up or potentially an NHL full-time job. I don't know if there's real opportunity, barring injury, for a full-time NHL job this year, but stepping through to 2024, there should be some opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's what for Steinberg.
Yeah.
I think that's what's tough, too, is we're in a similar room, like with Bocage and how the skating could stand to take a step forward with Steinberg, and that's something that you want to see at the American League level first really improve, because that's very important for the way that the Avs like to play. And that has been a recurring theme in everything that I've learned from yesterday is an emphasis on getting players prepared to play the way the Avs would like to play and targeting players that can play the way the Avs would like them to play. I think Steinberg still fits that, but not immediately.
Yeah.
There's some work to be done to get there.
And there's something to be said. The Avs like to play a certain way. They like a certain type of archetype of player. That doesn't mean you can forego everything else. You do need some variability, some differences there. You can't have 12 Jean-Luc Foodies. That's not going to make a good hockey team. So
this is why I'm excited about Tufte. I feel like he's different from other players I've seen the Eagles slash Avs target in the offseason. He brings about undeniable physicality that is going to be really interesting to see if he is given any NHL opportunity. I think that's going to bring about a very different call-up experience for the Avs. I think they are getting a quality that we have not seen from any of the call-ups previously.
Yep.
Because though he is brutish, there is still skill upside. Like, there is still the possibility of some offense that could be generated from him. I don't know if you've been following the Beauty League.
When Ben Meyer scores.
That's
the only
silly saying that.
It's a weird name.
And so there are some context to put here with the Beauty League, but he beat Malinsky. I don't know if you saw that play specifically, but it was incredible from Tufte. Malinsky fully had his back turned and it like went between his legs. It was
do-si-do'd.
It's worth watching for the Tufte angle.
Clearly.
And then you just look at Malinsky like, that was so unserious of you. Get it out right now.
It's the Beauty League. It's 3-on-3.
It's the Beauty League. Right, exactly.
Well, hey, I'll take it. Now I got to go find this highlight clip.
It's very fun. I actually clipped it. I was like, should we put it in the show? But I needed to calm down. It is the Beauty League. I'm not going to pretend like this is the highlight reel of the century.
This is also a league that we've seen a number of AHL players dominate against NHL players where
exactly
you can tell who's taking it serious and who's not.
The variety in goaltenders is also there.
That is true too.
There's a lot of context, but it's still fun and you should watch it for the Tufte angle.
I'm in.
You'll have to tweet it later.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The one other thing I really wanted to touch on from this interview with McFarland is his talk about Olofsson. You were kind of talking about the separation between amateur scouting and pro scouting. He mentioned Olofsson is someone their pro scouting took a look at in his time in the NHL. Is this kind of the sweet spot of merging these two things? We're talking about Olofsson as, yes, a potential 13th or even lineup forward for the Avs, but he could also spend time with the Eagles.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He fits, I think, a model of a type of player that they're looking to have moving forward, because he's not... He's on the younger side compared to a Jason Megna and a Jacob McDonald type.
Yep.
And so that's where there's a little bit more skill upside that you can get hopeful around. But there actually is decent experience under his belt at the pro level.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the NHL debut he made in the 28 games was impressive enough too that it's a middle ground of these two things, because hearing his name mentioned by both Schneekloth and McFarland also suggests he is going to be straddling both of these opportunities.
Yep.
And it's for him to make do with, because in hearing the versatility on wing and as a centerman, we look at the bottom of the Avs lineup and there is opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's definitely his to lose. And it's different, though, from the Jason Megnas.
It would not feel like a defaulting to the veteran type of move, for
exactly.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'm sure some people would much rather see a foodie or someone get that opportunity. But as we talked about earlier in the show, can Jean-Luc Foudy really replace what someone like an Andrew Cogliano does? Stylistically, there are some question marks there about how that fits.
Right. He needs to get more multidimensional. Mm-hmm. The quality that Cogliano has, but is also, like, Cogliano's game has transformed from the time he was a young, prolific goal scorer to now. And so there's opportunity for Foudy to add more tools to his tool belt. And in looking at last year and hearing Kevin McDonald say, if you can be the best player here, your opportunity will come, and seeing how many players, to include Foudy, who got 9 NHL games, did get opportunity, I don't think Frederik Olofsson's opportunity will come at the expense of Foudy's. I think they will both have opportunity.
Love it. Is this... you probably don't know the answer to this question,
yes.
But how much of these conversations are McFarland telling McDonald and down the way what's what, and how much of this is a back and forth, or is it a vertical bottom to top scenario? I know you aren't in the front office, obviously, but how do you vibe that out? Is it kind of a everyone gets a say here, or it's run from the top?
First of all, they should allow me to be in those conversations. Secondly, I think it's very collaborative, but maybe not so much as much as we thought. For example, Cronin would talk to me about players, what he's seeing in them. And then when call-ups would get made, he gave me the impression he was kind of the last to know about it.
Okay.
He had an idea of who was first in line for these types of things, but he wasn't having that direct communication with Bednar, for example.
Sure.
They talked. But who was really talking most and is the conduit for these teams is Kevin McDonald.
Okay.
And so I think that's why he was brought on, is that is what he is doing.
The intermediary type.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so McDonald reports to McFarland what he's seeing in Loveland, and McDonald learns from Cronin, Schneekloth, what's going on. And so it is definitely collaborative, but I think McDonald holds the key to how a lot of these decisions end up getting made.
There you go. So Biller's replacement could be the difference maker for the future of the Eagles-Avs connection.
It's just a different approach. Yep. Like, Biller's approach to things was still, it had a lot of positive upsides. But
definitely,
I think Kevin McDonald has a broader, bigger picture vision for how he wants to address the needs of both.
That would be a win all the way around if he accomplishes his goals then. On that note, we are brought to you by FOCO.com. You can go over there and get your licensed sports merchandise and apparel. Obviously, they have the Avs, Broncos, Nuggets, Rockies, Rapids, Mammoth. I don't think they have Eagles gear, unfortunately.
Which is
but
weird as a
FOCO. You would think,
company,
given that they're called FOCO, that they would have Eagles stuff. But they have, for the major sports leagues, apparel for pretty much every team in the country. So go check them out while you can. Use the DNVR code to get 10% off and free shipping off your order. Obviously, their big selling point on the logo there, bobbleheads. They have tons and tons and tons of bobbleheads that are all amazing and that we definitely don't keep breaking in the main studio. Don't tell Eric.
It wasn't us.
It wasn't us.
It was Nuggets.
Every time I walk in, I see like another headless bobblehead on the bar.
The Nuggets murdered.
It wasn't the Nuggets.
The three-headed monster.
Oh,
no, it's not the three-headed monster. It's Kale, Nico, and Nathan.
I think it's No, I think it's Kale. Either the most recent broken one was the goalie all-star one.
Wow.
On that one now. So don't be like us. Take care of your bobbleheads when you get them from FOCO.
Kyle Freeland is also headless right
He is. Use the DNVR code to get 10% off when you order. And if you do break them, at least you get 10% off when you reorder them through FOCO.com. All right. I am pretty good. Anything else you wanted to add on the Eagles or these conversations, Megan?
No, I'm looking forward to September and the rookie tournament,
giving us
even more clarity on where the prospects stack on a bigger stage with other HL, NHL caliber players. And I'm just excited for the season to start.
It's August 10th, so we got a ways to go.
McFarland, he's like, when September 1 rolls around, that's going to feel really different. That's going to feel good.
There we go. Can't wait at this point. We are going to get out of here for the day. A reminder, like and subscribe here on YouTube. If you want to listen, we are a podcast as well. You don't have to watch the video. Spotify, Apple Music, all those places. If you want to give us a 5-star review on those, that really helps us a lot. And August 18th, we will be doing a live show down here at the DNVR bar in the bar. So you can come listen live. If you're local, come say hi. We'll be hanging out afterward to like say hello, have a beer with people too. So come say hi on the 18th. I think 5 p.m. or is it 6 p.m. the live show is? I don't remember.
It might be 6 p.m.
It might be 6. Anyway, just come hang out all day on August 18th at the bar. We'll be hanging out. So we appreciate y'all. We hope to see you there. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow.